Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is The Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated, and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome back to the Diabetes Show again this week. Thank you so much for joining us. We have got the most packed show ever. I have an opportunity, amazing opportunity, to interview Dr. Sanjeev Chopra, who is a hepatologist from over in America. Amazing guy, very generous with his time, had a fantastic interview with him, and I'm going to be sharing that throughout today's show. So we're not doing any news. You can go and look at that yourself. Go to places like diabetes.co.uk website, loads of information there. Get the latest news if you want to there. But listen to this interview because I think it can be really helpful to you. He chose a song to start with, so we're going to kick off with that. And that is Dr. Zhivago's Lara's Theme. So enjoy that, and then we're going to get straight into the interview, which will take up pretty much the whole show. Enjoy. That was Lara's Theme from, of course, the film Dr. Zhivago. And that was chosen by our guest today here on UK Health Radio. And our guest is none other than Dr. Sanjeev Chopra. Chopra is the right pronunciation, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's correct. Good. Okay.
Like Oprah. Chopra like Oprah.
Chopra like Oprah. Okie dokes. Right. Okay. Dr. Sanjeev, can I call you just Sanjeev or...?
Sure, please call me Sanjeev.
Great stuff. Sanjeev, you're a hepatologist? Have I got that?
That is correct.
I always get tongue-twisted with that one. You're also a speaker, an author,
author of numerous books, I believe.
Yeah, about 10 books, and I'm, believe it or not, during this COVID crisis, because we are working from home, a lot of travel, a lot of conferences, keynotes that I would give are cancelled, or they're being done by Zoom. I've written 2 books in the last 4 months, one with a colleague, and it's on diabetes.
Okay.
And it's going to be called Conquering Your Diabetes, Prevention, Control, Remission. It's now with my literary agent in New York, and she's sending it to 15 publishers.
Oh, wow.
And the second shorter book, only about 90 pages, is on coffee. Coffee has so many health benefits, and every 2 weeks there's another study. So I'm calling it Coffee, the Magical Elixir, Facts That Will Astound and Perk You Up.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, we're going to be touching on coffee. I've got a few questions about that later on, so we'll come to that later in the show. That's my my offering of a book over here, which is also to do with diabetes as well.
Very good.
But, I like
the play on words, undefeated.
Yeah, it goes well with your conquering as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. I look forward to reading your book at some point. That would definitely be good. I'm in the process of working on my own blood levels at the moment because they've crept back up again. So I was classified as type 2 diabetes. Then I put it in remission, or I like to call it reversal, which I believe is possible. But the problem is those bad habits come back in again.
And they
have done with me.
There are 3 individuals. We have this in the book. It's a very small study, and we mentioned that. But there are 3 individuals who went on, you know, that fast you do for 16 hours or longer. And I think they modified it. They didn't do 16. One of them did one day in the week. During the week, had a little bit of nourishment like soup. He'd been on insulin for 25 years.
Wow.
He is off insulin.
Wow.
And there are 2 other people like that.
Mm.
So it needs to be studied. It needs to be seen where people will have the motivation and the willpower to do that. But we can actually reverse diabetes. We know it does happen with bariatric surgery.
Yeah.
The number one procedure now in general procedure in my hospital where I work. And a year later, 2 years later, they're off their meds or they're in much lower doses. And just those cost savings pay for the bariatric surgery.
Yeah.
It's the only surgical procedure that actually enhances longevity, survival.
Mm.
Yes, other than that, might be a transplant.
Yeah. Wow. Brilliant. So you're familiar with Professor Roy Taylor over here and his work with the diet study.
Yeah.
He's done some amazing work with it. That's what I've followed in the past, his methodology.
Right.
Okie dokes. Well, you know what? After all that, I forgot to ask you why you chose that song. If you can remember what song we chose all that time ago.
So one was, of course, Lara's theme from Dr. Zhivago. It's hauntingly beautiful. The movie is amazing. Omar Sharif was brilliant. And all the other people, Rod Steiger, all the actresses, they were phenomenal. I watch that movie once a year. Just love watching it. And then think, Debbie Boone, she's one of those artists. One song. I mean, if you ask what other songs has she sung, I can't even tell. But that one song, You Light Up My Life, the words are so endearing. And you can sit on the deck some evening with your significant other, have a glass of wine or a single malt scotch or ginger ale or whatever your beverage of choice is, and listen to that song, and it inspires and enlivens you.
I thought you were saying you can sing that song to your significant other half.
I don't even sing in the shower. I'm the worst singer. In contrast, my wife, who's from India, and my classmate from medical school, pediatrician, also teacher of meditation, she can sing in about 16 different languages.
Wow.
So I don't have to ever sing.
No. Keep quiet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. We'll play that other song at the end of the interview. I might get you to introduce it again at the end.
We're going to take a quick break from the show now, so please don't go away. It's just time for our station sponsors to share a message about their product. Please hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue the show.
a station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser.
The station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from our station sponsors. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. So thank you for listening, and let's continue with the show.
Today we're going to be looking at various things. The first thing is, what led you to become a doctor in the first place, and why the liver?
Oh, wow, what a question. So I was 12 years of age, studying in New Delhi at St. Columbus High School, arguably the preeminent all-boys school in India.
Uh-huh.
And I was 12, my older brother Deepak was 14 and a half. We're staying with our uncle and aunt in New Delhi. My father, a brilliant physician, cardiologist, professor of medicine, subsequently a dean, was stationed 200 miles away. And he and my mother wanted us to finish our schooling in this wonderful school, because every 3 years he'd get posted, Army Medical Corps. So I play a cricket match on a weekend. And Sunday evening around 5 or 6, I'm reading Reader's Digest, Word Power, How to Improve Your Vocabulary. I used to have a competition with my brother, and I'm not feeling that good. And I take a short nap, maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and I wake up, and I'm terrified. I blink, I open my eyes, everything is dark, I can't see. I'm blind. So I nudge my brother, I said, Deepak, I can't see. And he must have done visual thread and reckoned I wasn't faking it, and he started to cry. I have one brother, and he's turned blind. My uncle takes me to the military hospital where the doctors examine me. I can hear them talking, and they don't have the foggiest idea as to what's going on. They even talk about hysterical blindness. I'm a very happy kid, always been happy. I was a good student, very good athlete. And you can do visual threat, and if you're faking it, you'll blink. You'll see somebody coming with a sharp object. Yeah. Finally, they get a hold of my father, 200 miles away. He's in an army jeep. This is the year 1961. And very calmly, he says, tell me everything that's happened to Sanjeev in the last 2 months. They said, he's been fine. He said, no, I need to know everything. Any injuries, accidents, medications? Oh, yes. He had a sharp injury to his right leg, sharp object, laceration. He was taken to the casualty ward, got stitches. Did he get an antibiotic? So they looked up the records and mentioned it. Then he asked, did he get a tetanus shot? And very proudly, they said, yes, we gave him a tetanus shot. And he asked one more question. What kind? Anti-tetanus serum? ATS, or anti-tetanus toxoid, ATT. So they looked at the records and they said, anti-tetanus serum. And I don't know how he divined it. He said, Sanjeev is having a rare idiosyncratic reaction to the anti-tetanus serum. It occurs perhaps one in a million. He has severe bilateral optic neuritis. It's a localized form of serum sickness. Start an intravenous and give him massive doses of corticosteroids. And that was done, and about 9 hours later, I remember vividly, army hospitals, the rooms all over India are painted green, and my vision returned and I could see.
Wow.
I've told this story to professors of ophthalmology at Harvard Medical School, at UCLA, at Johns Hopkins, And they go, how did your father even know that? It was probably not even a footnote in the textbooks of ophthalmology of that time. He saved your vision. You could have been permanently visually impaired.
Yeah.
So the next day I said, you know what? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a healer like my father. So that's what led me to go into medicine. And then hepatology, I find it the most fascinating organ. The liver is the only visceral organ, other than the skin, the only visceral organ that can fully regenerate. And the ancients knew about this. There's a wonderful painting of Prometheus. He has stolen fire from the god Zeus. The god is incensed, chained him to a rock, and the vulture would come and devour his liver, but he would not die because it would regenerate overnight.
Okay.
And now 10 to 15% of the liver transplants we do in the United States are from live donors.
Right.
A sibling, a friend, a neighbor can donate the entire right lobe, which is 60% of the liver volume. And it works perfectly well in the recipient who's on death's door. And this person who donated 60%, the rest of the liver, you can do CAT scans and you can see it growing right up to the rib cage in the next year. So always been fascinated. But when I went into hepatology, there were no medicines for hepatitis C, hepatitis B. Everything was steroids. There was no liver transplant. And now, fortunately, we have all those modalities. And close to 2 billion people in the world have chronic liver disease. And we'll come to what are the things you can do to protect against that, including coffee.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I drink quite a bit of coffee, so hopefully you're going to be giving me some good news. Okay. My next question, I'm wondering whether I need to ask it actually, but I will do anyway. What's been the one thing, okay, that has been the most rewarding in your career?
The most rewarding thing in my career was when for 12 years I was appointed the faculty dean for continuing medical education at Harvard Medical School. And I took it from something like 200 postgraduate CME courses to close to 300. And then I developed distance learning. I developed the first CME online module related to liver disease. Then I invited my brilliant colleagues. You'll be surprised to hear at Harvard Medical School, we have close to 15,000 faculty.
Wow.
In 17 affiliated teaching hospitals.
Wow.
Harvard Business School has 400. The Ed School has 100. So I invited these amazing, brilliant clinicians, scholars, teachers, and said, please create an online module. And there'll be a little honorarium for you, but you're passionate about teaching.
Mm.
And then some years into it, I noticed that we weren't getting any people subscribing from Africa. You know, close to 51 countries, there were less than 200 people. So I reached out to all my colleagues and I said, the people who need it most cannot afford it. I'd like to give it away free with your permission. Harvard Medical School Department of Continuing Education should not only be the best department of continuing education in the world, it should be the best department of continuing education for the world.
Mm.
And they go, Sanjay, wow, we love the way you said it. Absolutely. And within 2 weeks, the enrollment went up by 2,000%.
Wow.
And I got letters, emails from colleagues around the country. Thank you so much. So I strongly believe knowledge is in the domain of the seeker.
Mm-hmm.
Voltaire, the French philosopher, once said, every man is guilty of all the good he did not do.
Mm.
If you have a talent, I have a talent, you have a skill, I have a skill, we can mentor, we can nurture other people. We got to do it.
Mm.
And it actually makes you so happy when you do that. You know, St. Francis of Assisi, one of my favorite people, he once said, for it is in the giving that we receive.
Mm-hmm.
He also said, which is one of my favorite quotes, he said, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words.
Mm, yeah.
How good is that?
That is a very cool
so that has story. Been an amazing career. It was a great position of leadership, responsibility, and authority. I went through multiple interviews, and when the head dean called me and said, we're going to offer you this position, and then I met him, I said to him, Joe Martin, brilliant guy. I said, Joe, in this position, I need both authority and responsibility. If I have authority but no responsibility, I'm a tyrant. And if I have responsibility but no authority, it's martyrdom. And I'm not ready for either. Said, Sanjeev, I like it. I'll give you a lot of authority. You can make a lot of decisions. I'm going to meet with you every 6 months and we'll talk about what's going on in the department. Brilliant. So that has been a wonderful part of my career. And then in hepatology and gastroenterology, I think the greatest thrill for me is to see my own students who are now full professors of medicine at Harvard Medical School or have gone and been trained with us and gone to Stanford and become chief of gastroenterology or chief of medicine. And when you see your own students get to that level, even surpass you, it's the greatest feeling. The heart expands.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah, you obviously have had a huge impact on the world, which is what you set out to do, by the sounds of it, when you went to Harvard there.
Yeah, so, I've been very lucky.
Brilliant. Well done. Okay, so the times we live in, okay, in the last 10, 20 years or so, more people now die from non-communicable diseases than anything else. Where do you think the core essence of where we've gone wrong is, and what piece of advice would you give to the next generation? Maybe let's say I know you've got grandchildren, your granddaughter.
Yeah, two granddaughters. So I think where we've gone wrong is that two things. One, we used to exercise. We used to walk. There are five places in the world that are referred to as blue zones, where people, they have the maximum number of people, percentage-wise, that live to 100 years and beyond. And what's common to them is that they walk. If they have to go half a mile to pick up a carton of milk, they don't get in their car, they walk. Mm. They take care of their neighbor on either side. They eat a lot of fish, fruit and vegetables. There's a saying, Hakahari Bu, Japanese, Okinawa Islands. When they're 80% full, they push the plate away. Mm. You know, we were made guilty. Finish every morsel on your plate. There are people dying of starvation. And now we overeat. Yeah. So we're eating the wrong foods. We're eating too much red meat and processed foods. There's a link between processed meat and pancreatic cancer, which is one of the worst cancers. Mm. It's all linked to changing the gut microbiome. Mm. We have 100 trillion bacteria in our GI tract. I give a talk called Microbiome, Man, and Medicine. I have to update that talk every 2 weeks. It has implications in obesity, arthritis, cancer, diabetes, liver disease, autism. There's a psychiatrist from Ireland, he's coined the term psychobiome. And now we're using stool transplant, fecal transplant, fecal microbial transplant. We tested for hepatitis B, C, HIV, tested again, make sure it's safe. He has 18 young people with autism, one stool transplant from a healthy donor. 2 years later, their microbiome remains altered, marked improvement in their symptoms.
From one transplant?
One stool transplant.
Wow.
Now, it's going to be studied. It turns out there are some donors who are extremely healthy. We call them super donors. And they actually get paid a fortune for submitting their stool and being used in experiments. I refer to them as super poopers. I have a slide about that.
You should have chosen the song Super Trooper.
Even in obesity, there were three identical twins from Finland. Identical twins. One is thin, one is markedly obese. They studied their microbiome. It's very different in the thin ones compared to the ones who are markedly obese. Then they take their stool and mix it with the food of genetically lean mice. And the ones who consumed the stool from the lean twins stayed lean. And the ones who consumed it from the obese twins gained 30% body weight. One experiment developed insulin resistance. After bariatric surgery, some people, their diabetes goes into remission in the first few days before they've lost weight. What is it? Hormonal changes, ghrelin, other hormones, change in microbiome. The change in the microbiome is seen when somebody has the gastric bypass. It's not seen with gastric stapling. Or if you put a balloon in the stomach and make them feel full sooner and they're losing weight. Very different. Something happens to the gut microbiome. And the way we are born, whether we are born by C-section, vaginal delivery, where we live, whether we get antibiotics in the first few years of life, whether we take proton pump inhibitors for reflux, whether we're vegetarian, whether we have jet lag, whether we drink coffee, changes the gut microbiome. Now there's one study, and of course they all need to be repeated, a small study, stool transplant in people with alcohol disorders. Okay, they're people with chronic alcoholism. One stool transplant, their cravings are gone for alcohol. Wow. It's unbelievable. So it's the hottest topic in medicine right now.
I must confess, I hadn't heard of it before. We were talking about stools on the show the other day, about bowel cancer and stuff like that. But I haven't heard of stool transplants.
It's fascinating. Fascinating topic.
Okay. Well, maybe that's a topic for another show at some point.
Sure. We're happy to do that.
Maybe you can.
I can also send you my slides from my talk. I'd be happy to send you.
Okay, cool.
And you can tell my slides. I mean, it doesn't tell the full story because sometimes I'm just showing a slide and then talking about it, but you'll see the breadth of research that's already happened in this field.
Brilliant. And maybe you can get a super pooper on as well. And then we can play ABBA Super Trooper. Okay. Again, non-communicable diseases in this age. There's also an information overload in this age as well. Fake news and you can get online, you can get any answer that you want to pretty much any question, and you can pretty much find the answer that you want to that question. I know there's five different things you want to talk to us about today, and I know you stressed that they're all evidence-based. So let's talk about it. You've already mentioned it a couple of times today. So I think coffee.
So I wrote this book, Peter, called The Big Five, Scientific Evidence that if we do these five things, we will live longer. And the first one is coffee. And it turns out that people who drink coffee have a lower risk of seven common cancers.
Wow.
Seven. And they include head and neck cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, endometrial cancer, liver cancer, skin cancer, and metastatic prostate cancer. Low risk, dose-dependent, mechanistic explanations. So that's one. Coffee drinkers have a low risk of cancers. They have a low risk of diabetes, Parkinsonism, early cognitive decline, early Alzheimer's, gout, suicide, dental cavities. And then in the New England Journal of Medicine, Premier Medical Journal, about 8 years ago, a study came out that men and women who drink coffee have lower total and all-cause mortality. Now there are four other studies published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, Lancet, JAMA. People, one UCO Biobank, more than 500,000 individuals. You drink coffee, you live longer. At the end of our shoelaces, for your listeners, we have a piece of plastic. At the end of our chromosomes, we have telomeres, and telomeres prevent the fraying of chromosomes and chromosomes sticking to each other. Shortened telomeres are linked with accelerated aging. Who has shortened telomeres? Mothers of chronically severely disabled children and caregivers of people with Alzheimer's dementia. The stress day in, day out leads to shortened telomeres, and we think they're going to live 8 or 10 years less. Who has longer telomeres? People who exercise, people who meditate, and people who drink coffee. And the coffee story is fascinating because it showed it's not the caffeine. Coffee has 1,000 constituents, many of which help. So increased caffeine intake is linked with shortened telomeres. Increased coffee intake is linked with longer telomeres. So if you go have these energy drinks like Red Bull every day with a lot of caffeine, you're going to die sooner. It's coffee. So that's the number one thing. The second we all know is exercise. And what we do to motivate our patients is we do motivational interviewing. So you say to a patient who's markedly obese, has liver disease, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and you want them to lose weight and you want them to exercise, you say, John, on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult is it to exercise? Oh, doc, 9, 10. Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it for you to lose weight and exercise? Oh, 10, 11. What could you do to lose half a pound, 1 pound a week? Well, I have 2 slices of toast with butter with breakfast. I could cut down to 1. I put 2 spoons of sugar in my tea or coffee. I have 4 cups. I could do 1. I eat ice cream every day after dinner. Maybe twice. I could do twice a week. How confident are you that you can do this on a scale of 9 to 10? Oh, 9. Okay, if you lose 2 pounds a week, maybe in a month you lose 8. Let's say 5. See me in 6 months. You might be 25 pounds, 30 pounds lighter. Can you do that? Of course I can do that. I'll see you. Now, what we've done in motivational interviewing, I've never told the patient what to do. Yeah. It's all in his or her words.
Mm. We're going to take a quick break from the show now, so please don't go away. It's just time for our station sponsors to share a message about their product. Please hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue the show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? BeCure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that BeCure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special BeCure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. BeCure Laser. BeCure Laser.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from our station sponsors. You're listening to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. So thank you for listening, and let's continue with the show.
So coffee, exercise, the third is the only vitamin I recommend.
Can I just go back to the coffee for 1 second, because I'll probably forget otherwise. Does it make any difference if it's decaf, if it's instant, if it's proper?
Very good question. Great question, Peter. So it turns out decaf coffee does not have the same benefits.
Okay.
In liver disease, it doesn't prevent cirrhosis. Alcoholic liver disease, if you drink a pint of whiskey a day for 20 years, every day for 20 years, only 20 25% get cirrhosis. What happened to the others? Turns out the answer is coffee. If you drink that much and drink 1 cup of regular coffee a day, 20% reduction, 2 cups, 40%, 4 cups, 80%, 5 cups, close to 100%. It's not a license to drink heavily.
I was going to say.
Okay, I'll drink coffee because you get Korsakoff psychosis, cardiomyopathy, pancreatitis, ruin your marriage, kill people off the road, but it protects your liver. So decaf coffee doesn't work in cirrhosis. In all the other conditions, sometimes it's as good, sometimes it's less effective. So preferably regular coffee. Then the study from Europe published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, 10 different countries. They make their coffee differently and they drink it differently. It didn't make a difference. Lower mortality in men and women. So the only thing I say is, if you want to put milk or cream or a little bit of sugar, go ahead. I drink it black. The one thing you should never do, never, never do, is put artificial sweeteners. Mm. It actually changes the gut microbiome. I show a slide on this in my talk.
Okay.
It worsens glucose intolerance. Worsens.
Wow.
If you are really craving for a soda, have a ginger ale, have one third of a regular Coke, but don't have a Diet Coke.
Okay. So steer clear of anything that's got any type of sweetener.
Yeah. Artificial stuff. Very bad.
Okay.
So that's coffee, exercise. The third is the only vitamin I recommend, which is actually a hormone, vitamin D. And that's good for bones, muscles, immune system. Now there's data that if you have high levels of vitamin D, you may have less COVID, less mortality from vitamin D. So that's the one thing we can all do at this point is take vitamin D. I take 4,000 international units a day. And you just get it from the pharmacy. You don't need a prescription. So coffee, exercise, vitamin D. The fourth thing is nuts. Turns out all the nuts, whether they're walnuts, almonds, pistachios, even peanuts, which is not a nut, it's a legume. Mm-hmm. If you eat a small amount of nuts every day, and the study in the New England Journal of Medicine, which I don't usually share with patients, even if you're overweight and you don't exercise, eat a small amount of nuts, you live longer.
What's a small amount of nuts? Because I love nuts, but I think I eat too many.
So, you know, I carry nuts in my car, in my golf bag, at home. And if you have one pistachio, it's 4 calories. If you eat 20 slowly, it's 80 calories. Don't worry about the calories. That's enough. That's less than a slice of bread. So nuts are very good. And the last one is meditation. And meditation, longest telomeres, you subjectively feel good. Objectively, there are changes in EEG, functional MRI on the brain, and longer telomeres. So when the book came out, I did about 30, 40 events, radio, TV. Some were 10 minutes long, some were an hour long. And I told the moderator, give me 1 minute at the end to summarize. Even though there are only 5 things, may not be easy for people to remember all 5. So here's the deal. On a good sunny day, go for a brisk walk to your favorite Java shop. Now you got the vitamin D, the exercise, and the coffee. Don't go nuts remembering this. That's number 4. And before you go meditate, and there's an ancient saying, you should meditate once a day. And if you don't have time to do that, you should meditate twice a day. And they all remembered it. They'd meet me 6 months later. Sanjay, 5 things. So since that book came out, even more research on coffee. I mean, the most recent came out in JAMA Oncology earlier this week. We know it lowers the risk of colon cancer. What about if you already have colon cancer and it's advanced, metastatic, spread? You drink coffee, longer survival. Dose dependent. 2 better than 1, 3 better than 2. JAMA Oncology this week.
So I'm hung up on this coffee thing. You said earlier different types. So even instant is okay to
have?
Yeah,
even instant.
Okay.
I mean, it's better to have organic coffee. I drink organic coffee. Yeah. And, you know, Coca-Cola has seen the sign. About a year ago, they bought Costa, the big chain in Europe, for $5 billion.
Wow.
They see the writing on the wall. Pepsi is coming up with an infused drink, coffee-infused drink. Last year in America, $1 billion or more were invested in coffee startups. Right now in the world, 2.25 billion cups of coffee are consumed every day. It's the number one beverage. Voltaire, the French philosopher, one of my favorites, guys, he once said, cherish those who seek the truth, but beware of those who find it. You know how many cups of coffee he drank?
No.
You never guess. Never. You can look it up. 50 cups of coffee a day.
Blimey.
50. Now, when I mention that in my liver talk, some people will say, wait a minute, Dr. Chopra, what size? I said, how does it matter? Even if it's this much, 50 adds up to a lot. So I think the studies show 3 to 5 cups a day is ideal. If you can get to 2 or 3 cups a day, and I tell my friends who said, I don't like coffee, I said, try different brands. And start with half a cup, and slowly over a year, get up to 2. And then 95% of the time, they're able to do that. Then I get accosted, especially by Indian physicians. I give a keynote every year in Anaheim, 6,000-7,000 doctors, whole bunch of Indian physicians, and they come up, Dr. Chopra, great talk, but you didn't mention anything about tea. And I said, you know, tea, I know one study where it decreased carotid calcification, so maybe decreased risk of stroke. There's a new study, low risk of cognitive decline, but the studies haven't been done. I have a saying for you, the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. It may turn out coffee, tea is as good or better.
Yeah.
I meet them the following year. Big smile. Dr. Chopra, you'll be glad to know I'm drinking 2 cups of coffee. The good fun.
Good. I mean, it doesn't matter what time of day you have it. I mean, obviously people don't like having it at night because of not sleeping, but it doesn't matter what time of day. There's no
preference. No. You know, you're so right. I'm glad you brought that up. I cannot drink regular coffee after 4 o'clock. I'll be wide awake. So even I won't even trust decaf coffee in a restaurant because you never know what they're pouring for you. So, but by 4 o'clock, I've had my 4 cups. Now, I have dear friends. They're a little younger than us, but not that much. And they'll come home for dinner tomorrow, and we'll sit on the deck, distance, social distancing. But after dinner, I'll say, Paul, Nancy, you want coffee? Sure. Can I have a double espresso? Say, you can sleep after that? Oh, I sleep like a baby. It's good for you.
Does it say anything about it? Because I'm the same. I can... You know, if I'm working on something late, you know, I could 11 o'clock at night, I could have a cup of coffee and I could be asleep at 12.
There is some science here. We have fast metabolizers and slow metabolizers of coffee, of caffeine. Right. So you may be a slow metabolizer, I may be a fast one. So it's already kicked in me. Mm. And you, it's kicking in at 2 o'clock when you're already in bed and asleep. So you're the lucky one. I envy you.
I don't know if my wife does. I think I just hit the sack and that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Brilliant. You're a fount of knowledge and it's brilliant. Can we just go to the nuts for a second? And just, you mentioned even peanuts, but what are the healthiest? Because I hear pecans are, I hear almonds are, walnuts are supposed to be very healthy. Cashews, bit
more fatty. They all work. Walnuts also have omega-3 fatty acids, and we think they're good for health, not proven, but some studies suggesting including cardiac health.
Mm.
So if you don't want to take fish oil or eat a lot of fish, you have walnuts, you're getting the same benefit.
Right.
So they're all healthy. There's a lot of fiber, there's a lot of selenium, minerals, all kinds of vitamins in most of the nuts. Pretty amazing.
Brilliant. Okie dokes. Well, you've answered my next question because I was going to ask you, have you any tips for people who find it hard to put into practice the things that you're saying? You've already mentioned your trip to the coffee shop in the morning.
Yeah. I think my tip would be walk more, exercise. What is your favorite exercise? What is the one you could do?
Mm.
And some people will say walking or maybe the elliptical, or I don't mind swimming. And you know, one of the things we do, which has been shown to work, not always, but works a lot, is to say, okay, swimming, how often? Oh, I have a club 1/2 mile from my home. I can go there 4 times a week. How long? 30 minutes? Take a prescription pad. Swimming, 4 times a week, 30 minutes. Number of refills, infinite. Give it to them. Prescription. It works. It's doctor's orders.
Okay, brilliant.
Okay, well, thank you, Sanjeev. I know that time is ticking on. You have been absolutely amazing. Some incredible insights there. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. And I just wanted to ask you if you could introduce the second song that you chose for us. Just maybe introduce it and say a little bit why you chose it. Thank you.
Okay, so the second song I chose was by Debbie Boone, Pat Boone's daughter, You Light Up My Life. I never heard of her till I first heard the song some years ago. And I thought it was brilliant. I thought the words were very endearing. And she sang it beautifully. And to me, she's one of those phenomena where it's like this one-hit song. what are the songs that she sung? I can't name another one. maybe like The Boots Are Meant for Walking by Nancy Belafonte, right? What are the other songs? Maybe I'm sure there are, but
yeah,
that's the only one that comes to mind. So it's a beautiful song.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you for that choice. Anything else you wanted to share with the listeners before we close out for today?
I think, you know, coffee lowers the risk of developing type 2 diabetes, 6 cups a day, both regular and decaf. Mm-hmm. If you already have diabetes and drink 2 cups, 30% reduction in cardiovascular mortality. Mm. So drink coffee. Every diabetic should be drinking 2 to 4 cups. All of us should be drinking, but diabetes, liver disease. The most recent study came out, JAMA Oncology, this week. If one has advanced metastatic colon cancer and you increase your coffee intake, longer disease-free survival. Hello? How does that happen?
Yeah.
Immune system, telomeres, whatever. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Amazing.
All right, Peter. Great to be with you.
Great to be with you. Thank you so much for your time.
You're most welcome. And we'll stay in touch.
That, of course, was the amazingly knowledgeable Dr. Sanjeev Chopra, and a lovely guy as well. So really appreciated his time. He gave us loads of time. In fact, that was only half the interview. We've got another half to come on a future week. So that's something to look forward to. I'm going to let you go now. You can pause if you want and go and make yourself a cup of coffee and then enjoy the song that Dr. Sanjeev chose by Debbie Boone called You Light Up My Life. I hope you enjoy it.
So many nights I'd sit by my window waiting for someone to sing me his song. So many dreams I kept deep inside me, alone in the dark. But now you've come along, and you light up my life. You give me hope to carry on. You light up my days and fill my night with song. Rolling at sea, adrift on the water, could it be finally I'm turning for home? Finally a chance to say, you
Well, 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 I don't know about you, but time flies when you're enjoying yourself. And I hope you enjoyed that. Debbie Boone, and you light up my life. You have been listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio with myself, Peter Alton, and our special guest this week, Dr. Sanjeev Chopra. Hope you enjoyed it. We're out of time. Have a fantastic week. Stay safe. Keep well and drink coffee. And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot. Living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.